A reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning and we beg that you would fill our hearts with your truth, with your grace, with your love. We need to hear from you this morning, so we pray that you would use your word to get behind our defenses and minister to us the good news of the gospel and how it transforms our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've all been living in a season of great change. And I'm not just talking about all the adjustments we've had to make during the pandemic. I'm talking about the demand for change that is coming at us from the left and from the right all the time. Institutions need to change. Corporations need to change. People need to change. I need to change. You need to change. There is just a fever pitch demand for social and personal change in our cultural moment. And as always, when you think about change, it's going to take work. And what I want to talk to you this morning about is that God is actually in to the work of change. And the change that he wants to produce in you and in me and in us and in our world is to bring about the fruit of holiness. Now, I know if you're new to the Christian faith, holiness isn't an attractive word. When we hear the word holy, often we think of stodgy and stuffy and judgy people living far apart from unholy people. But that's not the biblical conception at all. Holiness is part of God's beauty. And he wants it in you and me, and he wants it in his world. Holiness is supposed to be the family trait of the people of God. And this is what it looks like, according to Paul. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control. Holiness is relational. It is about rightly ordered lives in the presence of God and with one another. It is communal in its expression. And here's the thing that's maybe most relevant for us this morning. Holiness is real freedom. We talked about last week how Paul has been zealous to protect the freedom that we have in the gospel. He says, don't lose it, but don't abuse it, right? We have freedom from slavery and condemnation, but our freedom is given to us for love. And we experience our freedom under certain conditions. And those conditions are not indulging the flesh. And when he says flesh, he's not talking about the skin on our skeleton. He's talking about that core messed upness of our hearts that opposes God and puts us at odds with one another. Indulging the flesh leads us back into slavery. And what it produces in a community, we saw last week, is biting and devouring one another. So the question becomes, how do we not indulge the flesh? And this is the big idea this morning. It is only by the Holy Spirit of God. Paul begins in verse 16 with these words, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Only the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to overcome the desires of the flesh. So walk by him, verse 16. Keep in step with him, verse 26. And nudge there right near the beginning, verse 18, be led by him. And if you do these things, you won't feed the flesh. Now look, more is at stake here than our own personal satisfaction and fulfillment. It's all about community. What kind of work does it take to create a community of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness? Well, it's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a holy community in the presence of a holy God. You know, often when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we give all our attention to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives these gifts, and they are to be used for the flourishing of others. And we want to know what our gifts are. But in both Paul's letter to Galatians and in his letter, 1 Corinthians, Paul says far more important is the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives different gifts to different people, but he wants to produce the same fruit in every Christian. And he does this as we walk by him. So this morning, I want to focus on what that means. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? And I want to just ask two questions, okay? What's that going to feel like? And what's that going to produce in our lives? So let's start first with what's that going to feel like? And here's the thing that we've got to notice right off the bat. If we walk by the Spirit, it's going to feel like war. Paul writes, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other." Friends, if you're new to the Christian faith, you must hear this. The Christian life is a battle, but it is not a battle against the bad guys out there. It is a battle against the bad stuff in here. The Spirit puts us at war with the flesh, not with each other. If you are a Christian, there is a war going on inside you right now. And it's happening at the level of motivations, not just behaviors. Paul calls them desires. The flesh is constantly crying out for what it wants for our lives. Give me this now, I have to have it. But the Spirit is constantly crying out for what God wants for our lives. The flesh says, what's best for me? And how do I get it now? And the Spirit says, what's best for others? And how do you use what you have to give to them? And the result, Paul says at the end of verse 17, is this experience of internal conflict and frustration. J.C. Ryle was an 18th century Anglican minister, and he wrote these words, "A true Christian is known not only for their inner peace, but also for their inner warfare." You know, these words that Paul's writing here, they serve as both a warning and an encouragement to us. Here's the warning. If there is no fight in your life, there may be no Holy Spirit. And you need to move from thinking you're a Christian to actually becoming one. But here's the encouragement. Conflict is to be expected. Don't freak out when you begin to experience it. It is a sign that the Spirit is at work in your life. He is opposing the flesh. If you walk by the Spirit, expect war. That's what it's going to feel like. It. Don't be surprised by it. But it's a war in which the outcome is certain. Paul writes, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Which in the context of the whole letter means this. You are not a slave. You are emancipated to live out a new life in Christ by the power of the Spirit who dwells within you. You see, the Spirit is opposing the operations of the flesh in us and in our community. And what exactly are we talking about here? What are these works of the flesh that Paul is getting after? Well, Paul says in verse 19, they're kind of obvious. You actually don't have to be super spiritual or religious to recognize them. And he rattles off a list: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, what we might classify as sexual offenses. He mentions idolatry and sorcery, spiritual or religious offenses. Towards the end, drunkenness and orgies, right? Offenses of self-indulgence and substance abuse. And we might look at that and we're like, well, this is exactly what we would expect to find in a religious text. But what's surprising is the amount of tension that Paul gives to sins against community. Because 8 words are used to describe how flesh is a destroyer of community. Right in the middle, Paul says, these are the works of the flesh: enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. The list may look random as a whole, but it's not. Because there is a thread that weaves all of these things together. And you know what it is? It's the self at the center of the universe. That's the core messed upness of the human condition. And we are self-centered. We are self-promoting. We are self-seeking. We are self-serving. And it wreaks havoc in our world. It's always about me, what I'm getting or not getting. And it leads to using and abusing people and things for the gratification of the self. And I was talking to somebody this week, and they said these words, which are so memorable. When your world has shrunk down to the size of you, there's no room for anyone or anything else. Paul has some sharp words here. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friends, we got to wrestle with this. In the Greek, it gives the sense of this: those who live like this. It's not talking about a single violation. It's not talking about the battle that must occur in the Christian life. It's talking about a lifestyle where you have given yourself over to this and there is no fight. What characterizes your life? Now, is Paul backing down from what he has been pounding for chapters? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Is he smuggling in works in the back door? And I would say hardly. Not at all. He's saying that real faith will produce fruit in your life. And as one person put it, a person saved by faith and faith only will be a person in whom the fruit of the Spirit grows. But it is going to feel like a war. Friends, we need to recognize this, that walking by the Spirit is not about asking the Spirit what you should eat for breakfast or which outfit you should wear when you go out on your socially distanced dinner date. It is about a war that you are engaged in and that you are accessing the power of the Holy Spirit, who is opposing the flesh that makes war at God. Now, here's the second thing. If we walk by the Spirit, there will be beautiful fruit. You see, I want to talk about 3 things this image of the fruit of the Spirit tells us about how change comes into our lives. And it really spells out 3 things that are just so important to understand, right? This change is supernatural, it is gradual, and it is comprehensive. If we walk by the Spirit, there will be fruit in our lives, fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit is supernatural in its origin. You see, nobody is a natural at holiness. What we're a natural at is works of the flesh. But it takes the supernatural work of God's Holy Spirit to come in and oppose that and begin to undo that and begin to reorder our lives in the shape of holiness. Now, I know those of you who are parents, you get this instinctively. None of us have ever once had to teach our children how to lie or envy or be angry or cause strife. But we've spent a whole lot of time trying to teach them how to do the opposite. And what we always discover is that while we may be able to change their behavior, we cannot change their hearts. But even if you're not a parent, you recognize this: we can't change our own hearts. Try as we may, those desires flare up inside of us and we don't know what to do. And this is where the news of the Holy Spirit is actually really good news. Because when he invades your life, he will bring fruit. It is fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is an audacious claim about where the source of power for real change comes from. Because our modern notion is this: power for change comes from inside of us, right? It's all in there. You just got to get it and you got to bring it out. And there's all sorts of self-help literature. There's all kinds of tricks of the trade that we can learn of how to make life better for us. But when it comes down to the really hard things in life, you know it ain't so easy to bring about change. Think about your own experience. How easy has it been to make yourself a more loving person? How easy has it been to make yourself a more joyful person when you're drowning in the sorrow of your circumstances? Right? How easy has it been to make yourself patient with that person who completely irritates you? How easy is it to forgive someone who has hurt you deeply? You know, take patience for example. A lot of us say, I want to be more patient, right? And when you decide that, it's like drawing a target on your back for life to take aim at. Suddenly you find over and over again that you are challenged in patience and you feel like life is beating you to bits. Because we all know that when it comes to the really difficult things, the really substantial and profound changes that we want to see in our lives, right, we come up short when our only resource is ourself. You see, the biblical notion is this: the power for change comes from a source outside of us, but gets inside of us through the Holy Spirit. When you are joined to Jesus by faith, the Holy Spirit invades your life and your heart and brings real and lasting change. It is supernatural. We need the dwelling of the Holy Spirit because the change we need goes beyond us and our power. And the holiness that God is calling us to and wants us to experience is a fruit of His work. It's supernatural. Now, here's the second thing. And it's really important to keep tied to the first. This kind of change that happens, it's gradual. Think about the metaphor of fruit for a second. Right? Fruit doesn't grow in a day. And you don't stare out your window and someone asks you, what are you doing? I'm watching the apples grow. Okay, it's imperceptible minute by minute. But over time, because there is a power at work there, there is real and substantial change. And do you know how badly we need to hear that? Maybe right now specifically. Because every one of us at some point has become discouraged, maybe even devastated by the slowness of change in our lives. But you see, holiness isn't just a fruit of the Spirit, supernatural. It's fruit of the Spirit. And it grows in us over time. You know, there's a profound difference between fruit and decoration. You think about a Christmas tree. Right? You want to doll it up for Christmas season and you hang the ornaments on it. But that's not real life growing on the tree. That's just great presentation. And I love it, by the way. But when it comes to our lives, we need more than just redecoration. We need fruit growing organically because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And so much of the change that we're aiming for right now is like decorating a tree that's dead. We are virtue signaling. We are trying to show that we're a good person by whatever demand is coming at us. But what God says is, look, I don't want you to just have to dress it up and doll it up. I actually want to bring real substantial change in your life. And that is going to happen over time as you walk by my Spirit. And you know, here's a great irony. You most often experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life through circumstances which tempt you to do the exact opposite. How many times do you finally realize patience has been born in me or love has been born in me? When those things were tested, someone deeply hurt you. Someone aggravates you to the point where 2 years ago you would have exploded, but now you find a patience in your soul that you didn't even know was there. That's the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in your life. Yes, holiness is supernatural, but that doesn't mean it happens all at once. It's gradual. It is grown in you as you walk by the Spirit over time. And here's the third thing. It's comprehensive. You see, scholars have pointed out that when Paul talks about the flesh, he uses a plural word, works of the flesh. But when he talks about the Spirit, he uses a singular word, fruit. It's not fruits of the Spirit. It is fruit of the Spirit. There's a singular noun plus a singular verb with a plural predicate. And that's fascinated people. They say, what is being said here by this structure? And this is what most have included. The Spirit is working to bring change in all areas of your life, not just one. The fruit is comprehensive. You may have noticed the quote from G.K. Chesterton at the beginning of your bulletin. But he said, the modern world is filled with the old Christian virtues gone mad because they've been isolated from one another and are wandering alone. But you see, the vision that God gives us in his word of holiness, of fruit, is this interdependent reality because these things need each other to be what they are. And this is what I mean. You can't really love people if you have no patience. You can't really be faithful and reliable if you have no self-control. You're going to find it really hard to be gentle if you don't have kindness. Right? Fruit is different than the temperamental traits that we all have. Right? Take a very disciplined person. You know who you are, and we love you and respect you. Right? Is that the fruit of self-control in your life? Well, maybe. But watch what happens when someone messes up your regiment or gets in the way of your schedule, right? Does kindness go out the window? Does gentleness sneak out the back door, right? Is this fruit? Or how about a very gentle person? But that person, although they're never kind of pushing their way or bothering anyone, they're never willing to say something hard to someone who might need to hear it because they're afraid of the backlash. And that gentleness might just be shyness or fear. It's not mingled with love. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to bring the cluster of holy fruit into our lives in a comprehensive way. And the comprehensive change is part of what distinguishes superficial adjustment from substantial transformation in our lives. Friends, look. There's a lot of words here in this text. There's a lot of words in this sermon. So I want to zoom out for a second here at the end. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit produce very different kinds of communities. Which one would you rather live in? See, I think everyone wants to live in a place that's beautiful, at least according to their perspective. I think that's why so many of you have moved to the Silicon Valley. And that's why those of you who've grown up here have stayed. It's a beautiful place. But when you start thinking about what makes a place really beautiful relationally, I want you to look at the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit and say, which community is more beautiful? And which describes our world? And maybe even more like close to home, which describes our church? You see, Jesus intends for his people to bring beauty into the world because the world has become an ugly place. Holiness is part of God's beauty, and he wants to bring the beauty of his holiness into our lives and through our lives into the world. And that is actually the calling of the church. But it only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we must walk with him. That's why we must keep in step with him. That's why we must be led by him. And here's the question. Where is the Holy Spirit leading us? And you know what the beautiful thing is? He's always leading us to Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to show, to glorify, to reveal, to make real to us his love and all that he has done for us in the gospel. You see, being led by the Spirit is one of the ways that we keep Christ and the gospel at the center of everything. How do we do that? What does that look like? Well, it's interesting because in verse 24, Paul says it means you're going to have to remember who you are. And the Holy Spirit has come to remind you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. And this is what I believe Paul means. You belong to Jesus. Never forget that. He came to deliver you from the dominion of the flesh. He died to rescue you from this. And he sent his spirit into your heart and it reconfirmed your status as belonging to him. And through that, he empowers you for real change. You know, one of the verses we keep returning to in Paul's letter to Galatians over and over again is Paul's summary statement in chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and therefore I no longer live. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is why this matters. You don't crucify the flesh to get the love of God. You have the love of God, which begins to crucify the flesh. The Christian life in many ways is living out in practice what you are in principle and reality. That you belong to Jesus by faith. And you have been united to him. And the flesh has been crucified in him. And the Holy Spirit is here to work that reality out into your life. You know why? Because the life the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you is patterned after Jesus Christ. The way Paul put it is, Christ formed in you. This is what the Holy Spirit does. We need to remember who we are. But here's the second thing. We got to get on our knees. You notice how Paul ends this little section in verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another, which shows that one of his driving concerns is how we relate together in community. Well, how do we not grow conceited? Well, you know what? It's going to be impossible without prayer. Because you know what prayer is? It's an act of humility and desperation. It is an admission to God. God, only you can do this. In our world, in our community, in my heart. And walking by the Spirit is impossible without getting on your face and knees before God and saying, I need you to flood my life with his presence. It's the only way we won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, Paul says, and you will not gratify the desires of flesh. It's going to feel like war sometimes, but the guarantee that God makes is it will produce beautiful fruit, not only in your life, but in us as a community. It's how the church can be the church right now. It's how we can keep the gospel at the center of everything. Would you pray with me? God, we come to you and we ask that you would flood our lives with your Holy Spirit. We need to feel his presence. We need to walk by him in his power. We need to be led by him. We need to feel the weight of what you have done for us in the gospel, to remember who we are and to get on our hands and knees and even on our faces and cry out for you to produce this beautiful fruit. Lord, we need it. Help us to resist the desires of the flesh by the power of your Spirit and begin to form us and shape us into a people who give expression to the beauty of holiness, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control. And Lord, may you send us out into the world to bring that beauty and to herald the beauty of your holiness, which will one day cover the world as the waters cover the sea. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.